Hello, welcome to Think Digital, Act Human, a podcast from the Department for Education where we tell the everyday stories of digital specialists working on extraordinary projects. This episode is for all my job hunters out there. If you're preparing for an interview and you're feeling a bit nervous, if you've read all that advice on the internet and it's still not really kind of clicked with you, this is your episode. It's kind of like a diary of a successful candidate. We found someone at the DfE who applied for a digital job and he was successful. So he's going to talk to us about his tips, his tricks, what he did to prepare, and what he did afterwards, frankly. So we hope that you'll like it. Enjoy.
My name's Tom Adams. I'm the head of user research at Department for Education. The last role that I actually interviewed for was for lead user researcher at Department for Education, and that was just before the pandemic. So to prepare for the interview, this was the third civil service interview that I'd done, I think. And so actually I'd had a bit of practice by that point at preparing for civil service interviews. And so what I did was I really focused in on the job description and the what are called the essential criteria in the job description. And I made sure I had a range of examples that I could talk about from that job description. And I used something called the STAR format, which you can go and read about online to structure. But I basically just made sure I had a lot of examples to talk about. But I am somebody who can wing it and can just sort of chat around. But I know that if I start off with some quite solid examples, wherever that goes and whatever kind of follow-up questions I had, I was reasonably confident that I'd be able to cover them and be able to cover those essential criteria. So one thing I like to do when I go into interviews is sort of feel confident in myself. So this sounds really odd, but what I did for a previous interview was I went and bought a new pair of jeans in that morning. And so I was wearing a brand new pair of jeans when I went into that interview, and you just sort of feel a bit smarter and sort of, I don't know. I think part of it might be thinking about something other than the interview, because otherwise I find I might obsess on the details before I go in there. But you know, it's feeling confident in myself as I go in there and also making sure that I'm not just obsessing for every single possible minute before I go in there about the interview. I felt quite confident going into this interview because I knew that I could do the job and I knew that I had solid examples to talk about. I also already knew a couple of people that were working in Department for Education in user research roles. So I had a good idea of the community. I managed to get a good idea from talking to them of the kind of thing that was valued here at Department for Education, which helped me choose some of the things I was going to talk about in like the potential answers I might talk about. So I did feel quite confident, like quietly confident with this one. But also when you go into an interview, you never know. So there's always nerves. So you might 100% know that you're really great, but somebody else might go in who's even better than you. So you're still a bit nervous, but I try not to have those nerves when I go into interviews and just do the best that I can. And if somebody is better than me, fine. But as long as I can come out and feel like I've done the best job. I find nerves can be quite useful going into interviews, although only to an extent. One thing I used to do, although since I got middle-aged and started getting fat, I do this less, but I used to buy some sweets before I went into like a big meeting or an interview or anything like that. I just get like a packet of wine gums. I used to get and like eat a packet of wine gums and have that sugar burst before I went in there. And I might have a coffee, but I had to be really careful that I don't have too much sugar or too much coffee, because then that puts like too much of an edge on the nerves. But I think nerves aren't a bad thing. I think if you're not nervous going into something, that might mean that you're not, that you're missing something. Two things that I always do in interviews now that I've learned over 20 years of different jobs and going for interviews. I always take in notes because my mind goes blank sometimes. So I might have five amazing examples that I can give, but if I can't remember at the time, then what's the point? So I take in basic notes. I don't write things out for me to read out, but I take in prompts for me to remember the right examples to tell. And I know, having been an interviewer as well and sitting on interview panels, I like it when people bring in notes. You know, you're not going to be judged. I know that I'm not going to be judged poorly for bringing in notes. It shows that someone's prepared and thinking about things. So I definitely write down my examples and take them in and use them as prompts for when I'm giving answers. And the second thing that I always try and do in interviews is at the end of my answer. So I've given my example, I've answered the question. I will ask the interview panel, did that answer your question? Is there anything else that you'd like to hear from me? And that allows, you know, it's a bit sneaky in a way because it allows them a few minutes to think about other things they can ask me, which allows me to be able to give the best answer. It you know, they will always ask follow-up questions, but this means they're actually going and having an opportunity to consider those follow-up questions a little bit more. I have found that has kind of got a slightly surprised response from a couple of panels, that a couple of job interviews, and it can give me a second chance sometimes. If my first answer hasn't quite answered what the panel are looking for, it gives me a second chance to give a different example sometimes. So it's a bit sneaky, but I find that has definitely worked. After the interview, I genuinely don't remember what I did. Probably what I did was went home and did bedtimes and read stories and didn't think about it afterwards. It's the worst time. You've done everything you can and you know you just have to wait. And particularly with civil service interviews, you might have to wait for a couple of weeks before you hear, because that's just how the process works. And it is tough. You are always thinking about it and thinking of the different things you could have said and, you know, the missed opportunities. But you just have to kind of get on with it afterwards and, you know, carry on. Life goes on. So I had quite a long private sector career before I came into civil service. And I was one of the things that I found very surprising coming into civil service was how different the interview process is. So in private sector, I was used to going to two or three rounds of interview and, you know, whittling down from lots of interviews down to like the last two and having different. You might have interview questions in one interview, and then you go back for another one and you're doing a presentation. In the civil service, I found it really quite a culture shock for me that everything is done in one, and you're in there in an hour and you're out. And it felt quite scary the first couple of times I did that, because I felt like I didn't have time in an hour to really get everything across that I need to. I think there is quite a lot of pressure on that, but I think the way that I've dealt with it subsequently is just think, well, what can I do? Like, what can I say in the answer? And really think about those potential answers beforehand. And what we certainly do in the civil service, which I didn't find in public sector, was we kind of tell you in the job applications what we're looking for in that job. So I could look at the job spec for my job and understand the examples that I would need to give. So as long as I really started picking apart that job advert and that role description, I could plan the kind of answers that I would need to take in that interview, and I could be confident that I was taking everything I needed to in there in a way that I couldn't do in the private sector. So I think if you're coming from private sector, my experience was definitely you will find it a culture shock coming into that interview, but there are advantages to it because you can really tailor your answers based on that job description. I would certainly advise, if you've got questions, ask them. And I know that at Department for Education, we've got a really good recruitment team who will make sure that the right people get those questions and will respond to those questions. So there's always an opportunity here at DfE to clarify what a panel might be looking for from you and clarify more about the role. So definitely we are a place where you can come and ask questions before you come into that interview.
So that was Tom Adams, head user researcher at the DfE, talking about how he made it into DfE Digital. And that is one view of the interview process. That is a successful candidate's view. But of course, there's the other side of the table. And next episode, myself and a special guest are going to be talking about what it's like to sit as panelists interviewing people, what we're looking for, what we're expecting, and what we kind of think about when we're going through the whole process. we'll reveal everything. We're pulling back the curtain, people. So we do hope that you'll join us. Until then, you can find out all about us on Twitter at @DFE_digital tech. And of course, you can Google our blog, which is DFE Digital Blog. Thanks again to Tom Adams, and thanks to you, dear listener. See you next time. Bye.